This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
Yep, and good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs here at Tab. He helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Happy Valentine's Day. And hopefully this COVID Valentine's Day has brought you closer together. Let's move on to some quick news here I wanted to bring up. New Jersey. Ah, the Garden State blames Microsoft for weeks of outages, glitches, plaguing, yes, you guessed it, the coronavirus vaccine sign-up website. Promised software may never work as specified, it's feared. The state's covidvaccine.nj.gov was supposed to allow people to book appointments for their shots and uses Redmond's vaccination management platform, a collection of software tools for tracking the COVID-19 virus pandemic. Well, since its launch on January 5th, the application is dropped offline for periods lasting days at a time. How's that cloud working out for you? Lost or double booking appointments and turned away netizens, as they call it here on the Register UK, among other reported glitches. It has required daily bug fixes, officials say, who fear it won't ever operate as specified. The issue they're saying is that They're working with the state of New Jersey to deliver vaccinations as quickly and safely as possible, and that includes addressing some technical issues, a Microsoft spokesperson told Bloomberg. And the part of the problem is, according to New Jersey, is that they're dealing with overseas support whose time zones are a lot different than ours. And obviously nobody thought, you know, getting this ready, because who would have thought we would have needed to schedule vaccines at some point after this thing started?
Well, God forbid we should have programmers in the United States qualified to write this code.
No.
God forbid. I mean, they might actually have to pay them more than minimum wage.
I agree. Crazy talk. You're talking there, Bob. But the point is, I mean, January 5th, I mean, the people who manufactured this vaccine did it in record time. Amazing that they were able to do it and got it done for us. But the geeks in Microsoft can't get a website to work to schedule. I mean, it's the thing websites do, you know, allow multiple people to actually log on and schedule something. That doesn't seem that hard to me.
Well, Microsoft can do it for themselves. Why not for the state of New Jersey?
Yeah. It's just nutty. But, I mean, you got places like Pfizer and these great companies who in warp speed, literally, got that vaccine done. And you can't figure out how to write a scheduling program that doesn't blow up. Come on. I mean, Amazon can sell you, you know, a thousand books in an hour. You can't figure out how to.
Yeah, my son writes that kind of stuff.
A lot of people write that kind of stuff. So, you know, New Jersey is blaming Microsoft. Now, it's New Jersey. I'll just leave it at that. We're going to get to more of your calls, though. Let's get to Maria in Rocky Hill. What's going on, Maria?
Well, good morning.
Morning.
This is a perfect opportunity. Excuse my voice. Oh boy. Mm. To thank you both.
Oh.
I've been listening to you both. I've learned so much. You've helped me, whether it's my computer, whether it's my telephone, whether it's my TV.
Awesome.
In fact, you even helped my brother in England.
We did.
And yes, you did. He was having a problem. He didn't want to pay the money to convert to Windows 10. And I can remember over a year ago, you gave him a website to go on, and he did, and he converted. And
nice.
He's been thrilled ever since. So, but I want to wish you both happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love listening to you. You're both, after a week of politics all week, which I get myself tied into knots, on Saturday morning, it's so great to hear your calming voices and solve my problems, whatever it is. So
well,
I just want to thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you, Maria.
You've got
we appreciate
such
it.
A great show.
Thank you. Well, it's number one. We actually got the ratings from the fall. Literally, I got them a couple days ago. I couldn't believe it. We're number one. So
well,
I really appreciate you guys.
It. Both of you. You both deserve it. You've helped us all over the years. I all my friends all listen to you. So
awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you, Maria. Thank appreciate you the call. Much. You're making our day, and we do appreciate it very much. Yes, you are making both of us blush, and it is Valentine's Day, so I guess that's okay.
Well, you're well deserving.
All right,
I send a rose to both of you.
You're the best. Thanks for listening, Maria. Have a good one. All right, let's move on to, that's a nice call. Let's go on to Colleen in Bloomfield. What's going on, Colleen?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, hey, I'm a smartphone newbie.
Okay.
I got the smartphone the end of last year.
Yeah.
And how do I determine how many gigabytes I really need and the most cost-effective plan? Currently, I'm on a family plan,
mm-hmm.
and it's three lines and one landline.
Okay.
And that's $100 a month.
For three lines and one landline, okay.
And I'm not doing anything fancy. I'm making calls, I'm doing texting, I'm checking the weather occasionally, checking stock prices, that kind of thing. So it's mm-hmm. nothing fancy. I'm not streaming. I'm not doing anything that would take up a lot of data.
So you're paying $33 a line, roughly.
Right.
The landline, I'm not sure I understand that. Which service are you using?
Verizon.
Hmm, okay.
What I would do is log into your account. And you can look up how much data you're using on each line.
Okay.
And then see if you're even coming close, because I would venture to guess that you're not even coming close to whatever your limits are.
Well, right. We did get close to the limit because I got a warning that I was over 2 gigabytes.
So that's way too much.
The three lines.
Yeah, way too much, Colleen. So you can limit all those phones' access to data. Like I've brought it up on our show a lot. I call it jiggling the handle on your cell phone data, like, you know, it's like the toilet running. You mm-hmm. jiggle the handle, you stop it from running.
Yeah.
So go into your phone and turn on the data saving technologies that are built into it and turn off all the background updates that occur on these apps.
But she has to do that on all three. I would
yes.
argue, log into your account and see, I'll bet you it's one out of the three.
Right.
It's using up all the data.
It's possible.
And find out who the guilty party is.
Right.
Okay.
And then you got to find out when your contract ends. So there are services like Google Fi that I recommend that allow you to, you know, my phone bill is, I've shown Bob this and talked about it many times. My cell phone bill is $21 a month.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a geek. But I don't need to have my phone update my Facebook status while I'm driving in the car.
Right.
You know, if you turn off all that background updating that occurs on your phone that the cell companies are happy occurs because now they're going to sell you more, you know, you'll find you're barely using data. My son said, hey, Dad, I'm barely using any data. These are college kids who, if they got an unlimited plan, would be using it like crazy.
Yeah.
But it would cost $45 a month for these typical plans.
Another key is to tie into your home wireless network
right,
as
yeah,
well.
Always.
So that, and then set the phone so that whenever it connects to a wireless network, it uses that instead of the phone system.
So you could save a lot of money. Check out Google Fi. You can actually see where you'll spend. But if you turn off all the usage, then you'll really know where your problem lies. And it's most likely one user.
Okay, and the other thing is, what is the best way to secure myself, my smartphone?
Turn it off.
Yeah, I know that.
What do you mean? So most cell phones give you the ability to turn on the encryption. Are you doing that?
Not yet.
So do that by default so that nobody, if they find your phone, they can't open it.
Okay.
You can configure biometrics with a fingerprint if your phone's smart enough to do that, or you draw a pattern of some kind that can help, or whatever your PIN number is.
Okay.
But make sure you turn on encryption. What other type of security are you thinking? That just
no,
keeps
that's
people
it.
Access.
That's
okay.
It.
That's it. Turn that stuff on.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Colleen. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got a couple lines open for you. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out with computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Everything we've talked about is posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of our show.com. If you follow us on Facebook, if you're still using Facebook, and you follow Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it may get into your news feed. And, of course, you can follow us over at WTIC's Facebook page. Bob and I are live. Say hi. We got folks from Watertown and East Hamden who have chimed in over here on the old Facebook live stream. Hi, guys. Thank you for joining us. And we're going to step out for a quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab on this Valentine's Day. Thank you for joining us. You can always join us, too, via the radio.com app. That's how pretty much I listen to a lot of the shows on WTIC. I just have my cell phone running with the WTIC radio.com app. And, of course, you can podcast. Check out our podcast, too, if you miss a show and you want to catch a tip or something. It'll be there as well to catch our podcast. So let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Paul in Litchfield first. What's going on, Paul? You there, Paul?
Gentlemen, you just had a story about something about staying in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And signing up for COVID. Why did you go to New Jersey? You guys are much closer to Hartford.
I would never go to New Jersey.
Don't knock New Jersey. I've been there for over 10 years. There are some really nice areas in New Jersey.
It's probably fine, but I wouldn't go there. You're right. Why would I go to New Jersey for a vaccine? I would give up my vaccine for other folks.
I'm talking about the story in general. You don't have to go to New Jersey. You can just look at Hartford.
Yeah.
I received three emails yesterday from my representatives in the legislature.
Oh, you did?
All of which touting about, you know, the new COVID vaccine procedure to sign up and blah, blah, blah. We're in stage 1B3-2.75 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay? There's four phone numbers you can call.
Yeah.
Three of them, you get the same message. We're busy right now. Call back later.
Ugh. Aye, aye, aye.
The fourth one, you do get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And you get an option. You can sign up for a callback because wait times are so long.
Oh, brother.
The callback will occur within the next 7 days.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
And then there's the web sign up. Well, I went on thinking, I decided I want to get a COVID vaccine because I'm going to be doing some traveling.
Sure.
And I said, let me get the COVID vaccine, may travel a little easier. And I went to the website and looked at the month of February and all these available dates, and I clicked one and it said, no appointments available. Let's try March. Let's try April. Let's try 2022. Let's try 2023.
Yeah, there's issues with availability of the vaccine. I mean, it is what it is, right? You only get X number of... They can pump out as many as there are.
I mean, you know, everybody laughs about the Obamacare website. It took them a year to develop it, and it crashed on its first day.
Yeah.
Well, here we are.
Here we are again, right?
10 years later.
I know.
Still can't get this right.
It is mind-boggling.
I'd go back to those 8-inch floppy disks.
Right. It is mind-boggling. You bring up a good point, Paul. I mean, these technologies have been around for so long, and it shouldn't be this difficult to get a scheduling system that works. And if it's Microsoft themselves that are working with New Jersey and they still can't get it right, and we're not even asking, I mean, you talk about companies looking to move their stuff to the cloud. You can't get a scheduling program right. You can't keep the website working. You can't have multiple people access it. Isn't that the promise of the cloud? It's really mind-boggling and sad. And it's like we didn't think we're going to use a vaccine or have some sort of process to administer it. It was going to be some sort of, you know, first come, first serve, Lord of the Flies approach to vaccinations. I have no idea. But
I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
What is the biggest oxymoron in the world? Two words.
I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
No, two words. Very simple. Very simple, and you definitely know the answer.
All right.
Microsoft works. You guys have a good day.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. So I feel bad for the systems that are in Connecticut that are having trouble. And again, there should be systems whereby folks that are willing to give up their space in line first can do that too. But of course, if you're trying to just sign up, that's the same idea, I guess. But hopefully they'll get these things right and they'll figure out how to run websites and figure out how scheduling programs work. And I don't know. It's just sad. Let's go to Danny in Glastonbury. Hey, Danny, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
Listen, my wife, we're getting rid of our Verizon account.
Yeah.
And she's got a bunch of pictures, about 5,000 pictures on the Verizon cloud.
Oh boy.
How does she save those pictures?
Oh, if I had a nickel for this type of problem, you need to connect your phone right to your computer, and or there's a software you have to get to download those files, and it's not going to be easy, from what I understand, to get all those pictures off the cloud. It's one of the ways they keep you on their ecosphere, right? That's why all these companies want to stick your stuff in the cloud. They keep you on their ecosphere because if you can't take it off real easily, you're not going to leave them. Ah, all the work I have to do to get all my pictures.
She has to connect her phone to the computer?
She may have to connect her phone to the computer because the phone might have a bunch of pictures on it, too.
Right, the phone does have some pictures.
So you'd want to download those local pictures. It's more easy than getting from the cloud. We're going to go find some instructions. Bob is working feverishly to see if he can find how to download Verizon pictures from the cloud. Have you looked it up at all?
Well, we kind of looked, but I mean, I was trying to look for one of those sticks that you put into the computer and you bring all your pictures off onto one of those sticks I kind of looked, but I didn't know what I was looking for to look.
Yeah, and so you're going to have to bring it up on her. She has a real computer as opposed to your tablet.
Yeah, she's got a HP desk.
Yeah, so it looks like Bob's found one describing how to take the pictures off the cloud there. But I suspect from the horror stories I've heard, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. I've got another question. She's got Windows Home Premium, Windows 7.
Yeah.
And she keeps getting updates.
Yeah. Yeah, they're updates for their, most likely for Windows Defender. They're really minimal updates. This is not system updates.
Okay, she gets the screen that says, please do not power off or unplug your machine. Installing update 1 of 1 that's legitimately Windows.
Yeah.
Microsoft.
Yeah.
Okay. And guess what I got the other day?
What?
My invitation to sign up for Starlink.
Nice.
Except
I love it.
I missed it. I only had 15 minutes from the time the email was sent.
You missed it?
Well, I didn't. The email came at 4:26 p.m. and I didn't see it till 7.
So it's already too late?
Yeah, well, there's only a limited number, so that as many people can sign up in the first 15 minutes.
All right.
But I got that.
Nice.
And they said they're going to come back around again shortly.
Okay.
And, Musk has a third of all operating satellites in orbit on Starlink.
Yep.
SpaceX and Starlink.
Very cool. I hope it works. I mean, getting wireless broadband means no more fighting with anybody's poles.
Right.
You can tell everybody to pound sand.
Right. Now, is Bob going to put up, he found something, will you put up a link for that?
Yes, he will. He already did, yep.
Oh, okay. All right, guys, thanks for it. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you too, Danny.
To all your loved ones.
Yep, you
Not
too.
Not you guys, because that's weird.
You can love your geek. Come on.
Okay, all right, okay, you guys too.
Yeah, come on. It's this day and age. We can love a geek. It's okay. And you know what it was? Geeks were so not loved. I mean, remember the Revenge of the Nerds? I mean, come on. That's what we lived our entire lives, right, Bob?
Well, I don't know.
Now it's geek chic. Now it's geek chic to be geek, and it's okay to love your geek if you want to. Don't feel bad. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Then coming up at 11, Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice and, of course, updates on COVID. And, of course, stick around for a garden talk. I mean, and I'm sure Len and Lisa are going to be doing their things at noon, and I think we probably have pet talk and law talk as well on this cold Saturday afternoon. But I always wonder what the garden guys talk about in February. I don't know.
Well, they have a lot of stuff that you start. This is the time to start a lot of early planting.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in your house?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Or your greenhouse, you know.
My dad.
Your sunroom.
My dad used to do that, and he would start by baking dirt. I'll tell you, the smell of baked dirt is the nastiest smell you'll ever live with.
I worked at
baked dirt, Bob, in the oven.
When I was 13, 14 years old.
Yeah.
15 years old, I worked for Larson's Farm.
Yeah.
And the good workers were called up to work in the greenhouses in February.
Yeah.
And the first thing that we used to do, actually we did it in the fall, is bake dirt.
Yeah.
Well, so it kills all the weeds and the bacteria that's in the dirt. So.
Sure does. It also kills your appetite.
Well, We did it outdoors, so it wasn't
Well, yeah,
so
it was
bad.
Smart. He did it right in our oven. So stick around for that over here at WTIC. And everything, again, everything you talk about is posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which was Bob's idea. It also works. And if you follow us on Facebook, if you follow us on Facebook Live over at WTIC's page, we are live. You can see Bob and I. Four lines open now. Feel free to get online during this news break. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we will do our best on this Valentine's Day to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And again, thank you guys for making a little show number one. The ratings came out, and we kicked butt. And I'm really proud of it, and thank you guys for doing it. And it's just great to see that there's so many great listeners out there in the state of Connecticut and all over the country that like Geek Talk. And if we can be of any kind of service, it's all about that, too. We'll be right back. On this Valentine's Day, feel free to get online 800-966-WTIC 522-WTIC. We got three lines open for you. I know you're all busy getting your sweetheart something, because going out to dinner probably won't be a thing for a lot of us. I hated going out. Bob, we were just talking off air about our clock. We've got this crappy clock in here that does not quite keep time exactly as it should, and so we're not always sure exactly if we're synced up with Matt in the studio, and he's like, he brought up a clock on his computer. There you go. We should have done that since March, Bob. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Joe in Berlin first. What's going on, Joe?
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I spoke with you last week about getting my modem and my router talking to Comcast.
Uh-oh. So did we break anything? Did we help you? Is this a complaint?
Well, just to let you know that 192.168.50.1 is a default.
Okay, good.
Gateway for the router. But anyhow.
That's good.
I ended up calling Comcast because I was getting really frustrated and told the guy that, you know, this is like my third call to you guys. So he said he's going to do a deep scan.
Ooh.
And I'm thinking, Star Trek or something like that, you know.
Oh, yeah. When they start throwing out the words like deep scan, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. But anyhow, he said that, well, he found a lot of noise. All the lights came up red. I'm quoting him now.
Yeah.
So they sent the guy down. He went up on the pole. Probably, it was freezing cold. He was on the pole for probably an hour.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
Don't know. Yeah. A very nice guy, but I don't know what he did. But anyhow, he got that all straightened out. He said that there was a lot of noise on the line.
On their line. So you were banging around line. Trying to fix your problem internally.
Well,
and it was theirs.
And it was theirs. But I did this like my third call to Comcast. And they said, no, your routers were, you know, the modem is working fine. Everything's okay with the modem.
So, Joe, you just saved everyone in Connecticut a big issue now. So whoever's listening here, when you call Comcast the first time, you say you demand a deep scan.
Exactly.
That must be part of their troubleshooting. I know you got a deep scan, and you want to demand a deep scan, because clearly they would have done this, and we would have solved the issue for you earlier. So they have a problem with their line.
Exactly. So he came in, and also he took out my splitter. He put a new splitter in. I'm not sure what that was all about, but hey.
Well, when you have splitters inside your network at home, it can mess with the ohmage on the cable line, and the splitters can be problematic. So by putting a better splitter in there, he also might have put a powered splitter in there that pushes it. No, he didn't? Okay.
No, he didn't. I had a powered splitter. He didn't want to use it, so I said, okay.
Oh, he took that out. Okay. All right. Well, Joe, that's great.
my call is about radio.com. They had recently updated their I just spilled my coffee. Anyhow.
Oh, no. Not in your computer. We hear that every day.
No. Okay. How do you shut off the application? I typically go for a walk early in the morning, and I'll listen to the news between, you know, 4 and 4.05, and then I shut it off, and I go back to my books on tape. Randomly, I will get both. My book on tape as well as radio.com talking at the same time.
Is this going to be on your computer or on your phone?
On my phone. On my phone.
So the app is still live in the background. So you need to go and actually, are you using a Pixel or are you using an Android or are you using an Apple
Android
device?
Android.
All right. So if you, there's a little square on the right-hand corner of your Android. And that'll if you hit that little square, you'll see that the app you're looking at will shrink. And you can actually page through the apps that are active on your device. You can also just swipe up, and that'll turn it off.
It doesn't.
It doesn't?
It used to. It doesn't.
I don't know, because it...
And what happened, and because somebody had called earlier about the usage, and my usage went up from... I don't know, you know, maybe a quarter of a meg, hardly anything, to almost 3 gig of
Yeah, so it's working. It's doing its job. I've never seen that issue. I would tell you, now, this is a thing you can try. With any app, you would uninstall the app on your phone and reinstall it.
Good idea. Okay.
And then you should be able to, on your phone, swipe up. But how old is your phone?
About a year old.
Okay, so it's fairly current. Make sure you update the operating system. But that process of hitting that little square like you've done and swiping up generally will turn off the app and not have it work in the background and not have it constantly running with the other apps that are running. That could be a problem. But I would think you would uninstall it and reinstall it. I don't think it's radio.com's problem.
Well, again, they used to have an icon or whatever on their program that says close the app. But that's gone now.
Well, you know, you can see why they may want to have it work.
Wow.
But it wouldn't be cool, and I wouldn't actually advocate for it. I would think that they would give you the ability to turn it off because you don't want to consume data when you're not listening.
Well, exactly. That's just it. And really confusing is when you get, you know, two different programs running simultaneously. So
yeah, that would be trouble.
Okay, well, anyhow, I just figured I'd let you know about that deep scan thing.
Yeah, deep scan, man. You saved everybody a lot of trouble. We'll make sure that everyone knows when you call Comcast, the first thing to ask them is to do a deep scan.
Absolutely. I'm dead serious.
I know you are dead serious. Yeah, and I'm dead serious, too, because believe it or not, in the IT world, you could say all sorts of specific things about the problems with your computer until you hit a specific word. People don't glom on to that problem properly. So the word deep scan might be a thing within Comcast, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, you know what? We should probably do that. But our little flow chart doesn't tell us to do that deep scan until the 15th call. Well, you're going to say, well, why don't you do it on the first call? But so it's completely normal. I'm not making fun of it. It's something you need to bring up because clearly it's a keyword.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
A lot of times with the noise on the lines, the connectors for the cable connectors coming out of the pole or wherever they happen to be, sometimes they're underground. They get corroded from the weather.
Right.
And then they have to be replaced. And, you know, if nobody's having a problem, they're not going to fix it.
Right. So until they do a deep scan. So why don't you refresh our call screen here, Bob, and see who's on the line.
Yeah.
Anybody there? Yeah. Everyone's going out and getting flowers for their
sweeties. They all want us to talk about our kids now.
Yeah. So anything you want to bring up on news before we go to a quick break here?
Sure.
What do you got there?
This is another CNET article.
Yeah.
Yes. Your security camera could be hacked.
Of course.
Here's how to stop prying eyes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't use the same password the same way they did on that water supply.
Yeah, that's one of the first things, and it gets into that in the article. Don't use the default
password.
Username and password.
Right.
And so following the recent conviction of a technician for spying on customers' camera feeds.
Oh, that was the ADP guy, right?
That's the ADP guy.
Yeah. Right?
Protecting your privacy is more important than ever. Last year, an ADP customer noticed an unfamiliar email address connected to her home security account. Your home security account.
Yeah, yes. It's creepy.
A professionally monitored system that included cameras and other devices inside her home. That simple discovery and her report of it to the company began to topple a long line of dominoes leading back to a technician who had spied over the course of 4.5 years on hundreds of customers, watching them live their lives, their private lives, undress, and other things.
A real life Truman Show, but you didn't know you were part of the show.
Well, yeah, and shouldn't have a camera in your bedroom, let's put it that way.
Right.
So anyway, ADT says that it has closed the loopholes that the technician exploited, implementing new safeguards, training, and policies to strengthen account security and customer privacy. But invasions of privacy are not unique to ADT, and some vulnerabilities are harder to safeguard than others.
Yep.
Whether you're using a professionally monitored security system such as ADT, Comcast, Xfinity, or Vivint, or you just have a few standalone cameras from off-the-shelf companies like Ring, Nest, or Arlo, mm-hmm. Here are a few practices that can help protect your device security and data privacy. So is it vulnerable? Yes, it is. You want it to be encrypted. That's one of the things. You want to change the passwords.
The default passwords,
right. And then you want to log into your account and make sure you recognize all of the email addresses that are in there.
Right. So you change the password, but if the guy who installed the system put his own little account in there for you, he's still going to log in with his username and password. Right, you need to make sure who has access. In this case, they use it by email address. So just because you've changed the password doesn't mean you've locked out the guy who installed it for you.
And then don't forget to do the firmware updates on the devices that you install.
Right.
Because
plenty of vulnerabilities.
Security vulnerabilities are patched with the firmware updates.
Right.
I mean, I'm kind of browsing through.
So. Yeah, we'll put a link up onto this article. It's pretty in-depth, and it goes through the whole issue with the ADP guy who was spying on their clients. Be aware. It is something you have to be aware of. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get more of your calls. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back on this Valentine's Day. Thank you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. Of course, stick around. Dr. Alessi will be in next with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And, of course, Garden Talk will be coming up. And I think Law Talk and Pet Talk as well. Being not in the studio, I'm not sure that's a proper sentence, we don't actually see who's coming up anymore. There used to be a nice whiteboard, and we would know what the heck's going on. So I'm just guessing. But it's always a good reason to stick around with WTIC anyways. Let's go to Barbara in Southbury next. What's going on, Barbara?
Hi. I thought I could help your gentleman who is having trouble turning off his apps.
His radio.com app or all apps?
Well, I don't know if it's all apps or not.
All right. But
I have a similar experience with my last two iPhones, and I know he was doing an Android, so
yes.
It might be different.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the problem with the previous iPhone. Went to the friendly folks at the Apple store, the
nice.
Apple Genius Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And they explained it very clearly. That's not a problem. That's a feature.
A feature? Oh.
Yeah. They think it'd be more convenient to have all the apps running all the time so you can instantly go to them instead of having to have that tiny little delay while they load.
Oh, you're kidding. You're serious, huh?
I'm absolutely serious. And the solution is
yeah.
on the iPhone. You
yep.
put your finger not at the bottom and swipe up the way you do that takes it off your screen.
Mm-hmm.
You put your finger instead in the bottom left corner and swipe diagonally, and then you'll get a stack of cards, which are all the programs that you have never really closed.
Yes, and it'll explain why your iPhone is running so slowly.
Yeah. So maybe Android has decided to add that wonderful feature.
Yeah.
To phones
I've never had any trouble turning off my app, so I'm not sure what the problem is of the last caller, but thank you to let us know how Apple's work.
Overall, I'm reasonably satisfied, but I love it when they add stuff like that, and it's just buried in you have to stumble through it before you can deal with it.
Yeah, and it could be an update away.
Yeah.
Right? The next update is now going to make all your apps stay on again. Or who knows what they're going to do next to us. Thanks, Barb.
Especially the camera, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, everybody.
You too, Barb.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
I like my apples sliced in a pie, fresh out of the oven with ice cream on the top.
All right. It is Valentine's Day, so we're getting a little silly. Let's go on to Kim in Bloomfield next. What's going on, Kim?
Hey.
Hey.
Congratulations, you guys.
Thanks. Yeah, I was pretty psyched at myself to hear that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. No, that's great. I actually got a tab face mask from,
you do?
From your boss. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful.
So anyway, I do QuickBooks for my husband, okay, mm-hmm. for business
yep.
on a desktop, you know, pro or whatever on the computer. And I really am more comfortable on working on a laptop, and I know how you feel about, you know, just keeping it secure. So I would like to just get a laptop and just to be able to work on the QuickBooks.
Sure.
Because they're tied in together. So my question is, would I still need to back up on my laptop if I'm backing up on the main computer? And would I have to have WebRoot on that also?
Yes. You'd have to have WebRoot and the security tools on your laptop. And the
okay.
backup, if it's occurring, if the company file, the QuickBooks company file, is on the PC,
right,
as long as it's being backed up off that PC.
On an easy store it is.
Yeah, then you don't need to add additional backup on your laptop to back up that company file.
Okay.
However, I would still take a thumb drive or multiple thumb drives on occasion and run the QuickBooks backup to the thumb drive. So you could write week 1 through 4, day, you know, Monday through Friday, just because you have the backup running on the PC. It's not bad to have more shots at your data. Okay, multiple shots at your data on multiple pieces of media, in the case of how you're running it, is going to save you in case that one backup hasn't been working. You know?
Right. Yeah, we haven't even really checked that.
That's the biggest problem with backups.
Yeah,
nobody checks them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I understand that. But portable backups go to the accountant, so, I mean,
oh, good.
At least that's working.
Yep, so that means they're getting a backup of your file. So there's always a chance of bringing that data back, but it could be a long time between when that occurs, right?
Right. Okay. So, I mean, what would be a reasonable laptop? Like I said, I'm not going to use it for anything else, so I don't want to go overboard. I mean, this is just when I want to work upstairs. I mean, you can only have one person at a time, you know, on QuickBooks.
Right. Well, our recommendations are never overboard.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Never, though. We want to focus on a business laptop. So even though you don't need to do anything else, QuickBooks requires some serious resources. So I would tell you, you want at least an i5 processor, 8 to 16 gigs of RAM, and a solid-state hard drive to properly operate Windows 10 Professional and QuickBooks, not an i3 low-end thing you would give your kids to do homework. It'll just serve you better longer to have a more real computer. So you're going to be in that $900 to $1,100 range, depending on what you buy.
Oh, wow.
But it'll last you. It'll last you a long time.
Yeah.
And it's a business laptop, and because it's a business laptop, you can write it off.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks. All right,
Kim.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've been thinking about this for a while. So, okay, great. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
But yeah, I mean, I was joking about never recommending too much or overboard, but it is key to how we operate with our clients, and same thing with you guys. I mean, you need enough of a tool to do the job for a period of time, you know? A plastic fork only works at the picnic for maybe one or two picnics at the most, but a metal fork, guess what? That'll last for years, you know, the right tool for the job. Same thing with computers, right? If you buy a really low-end machine, the moment you want to do anything well, it really can't. It doesn't have the horsepower to do it. And when you look at machines that are going to be in a business grade, they'll be more expensive than the ones that are in the home grade. You know, they're just designed with the better operating systems, quote-unquote. It's the pro.
Well, typically, they last longer, and they stand up to abuse a little better, usually.
Usually, yeah. And the metal cases on the laptops especially, don't get plastic cases. I mean, they just the hinges don't last. They're cheaper. If you're not going to move them, fine. But those hinges on those plastic cases, no matter what brand, just don't last that long. So spend a little bit extra money. It'll last a lot longer in the long run. If you can get 4 years out of a laptop, you've done great. If you can get 6 to 8 years for home computers, you've done wonderful. And if they performed, just because it runs for that long doesn't mean it did its job for that long. You know, if you're trying to render a slideshow video presentation of your home movies and it takes you 16 hours to render, well, you haven't done a good job there with the tool, unless you're okay with the fact that it took 16 hours. You know, technology can really improve that by just getting proper processing and RAM and video cards.
So you can let that process while you buy another cheap computer to do your actual work.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. So on the other hand, Bob's saying, just buy a couple cheap computers and stop worrying on the one. So either way, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Again, thank you guys for joining us on this Valentine's Day weekend. We do appreciate it. Hope you have a great Valentine's. Hope you're able to get out and do what you can during this pandemic. I mean, we're going to need to get out and do stuff. And please choose local. Buy local. Local shops, local flower shops, local candy stores, local restaurants. Get out there and support local. The big box guys don't need our help. It's the little guys that do. And I want to thank Matt for producing back in Farmington. Thank you, Matt G., Mike G., for posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. And, of course, you can get our podcast over at Radio.com. And thank you for watching us on the crazy Facebook stream over there at WTAC as well. Have a great weekend.
See you next week.